Do you love the Tabernacle Choir? This year, the choir's music is everywhere you are. Listen to your favorite choir songs and music and the spoken word anytime you want on Alexa by simply enabling the skill.
Alexa, play the Tabernacle Choir.
Now playing the Tabernacle Choir.
You can also download the Tabernacle Choir app, subscribe to the choir on YouTube, listen on Spotify, and have access to all their wonderful music. Happy listening.
This is KSL's Religion Today, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner, on KSL News Radio.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. All across the world today, we hear chants, Free Palestine. These are chants in favor of Hamas and against Israel. They're heard on university campuses and in cities in the United States like New York and Los Angeles, as well as in Europe. London, England, for example, and Sydney, Australia, and other places in the world. But what are these people saying when they say Free Palestine? What exactly is Palestine? And what would it mean if Palestine were actually freed and given to whom? Or freed from what? Israel, we presume. But let's take a look at the brief history of Israel and of Palestine, because if you understand where those two names actually come from, things become crystal clear. One of the things that people try to do in this battle is kind of a one-upsmanship, and that is they say, well, Palestine was there before Israel. And others say, no, Israel was there way before Palestine. So let's take a look at the truth of the matter. Let's start at the very, very beginning. If you believe current scientific theories about human history and origins, then the earliest known human remains, at least known to modern science, came from Ethiopia, which is just south of Egypt, and of course Sudan, on the edge of Africa, bordering the west side of the Red Sea. This was skeleton known as Lucy. Interestingly enough, the second oldest known human remains, these were found outside of Africa, are the skull and Kwafsa hominids from northern Israel that date to 120,000 years ago. This places the beginning of Israel, whether you happen to be looking at a biblical account or a secular account or a scientific account, as something that happened very, very, very early. Abraham, according to the Bible account, is the father of the Jews. In Genesis chapters 25 and 32, we read about Abraham and his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel in Genesis chapter 22. Israel first appears as a name outside of the Bible in an Egyptian stela, which is a big fancy rock that was carved on by the Egyptians. It's called the Egyptian Menephta stela, and it dates to about 1208 BC. The Menephta stela talks about a war between Israel and Egypt, and it claims that Egypt won, which may or may not be true, but the point is, by at least 1200 BC, there was an Israel. Now, if you go farther along in time, towards the present, you get to another interesting extra-biblical thing, this time a black obelisk of Shalmaneser III, that mentions the House of David. This dates to about 841 or so BC. Now, this means that by at least 900 years or so, maybe even earlier, BC, there was a House of David and a Jewish state of Israel. The House of David was known outside of the Bible by 841 BC. Of course, King David built the first temple on the Temple Mount in Israel. We also remember the story in the Bible of young King David killing the Philistine Goliath. This probably took place somewhere around 1000 BC, give or take. David would have killed Goliath in the northern part of Israel, the Philistines, of whom Goliath was a part of. The Philistine giant Goliath would have lived as part of the Philistines in northern Israel. The Philistines came from the Aegean. They settled in northern Israel in about 1175 BC. They lost their wars with the Jews, but remained a tiny faction within northern Israel, relatively peacefully, I might add, until Babylon conquered both the Philistines and northern Israel and southern Israel. This would have been just a few years after Lehi and his party left Jerusalem. The Babylonian conquest of Israel took place in about 596 BC. At this point, the Philistines were totally lost to history. Their leaders were all killed. They had already been greatly diminished, and they were taken, the few people that were left, as captives into Babylon. No more is known historically about the Philistines at all. I mention them because they'll come up later. Then, a few decades later, the Persians, the Iranians of today, conquered Babylon, and they were a bit more kind to the Jews. The Persian king allowed the Jews to return to Israel in the mid-500s BC, and this rebuilding of the temple was the second temple, and it was the temple that existed at the time Jesus walked the earth. The Persians then conquered the Babylonians, and the Persians were later conquered by the Greeks and Romans. How did this happen? Well, as Jesus predicted in Matthew chapter 24, he was talking probably in about 30 AD. He said, soon this temple, which he pointed to the temple wall behind him, he said, this temple will be destroyed so that not one stone will be standing on another. In 68 AD, the Romans invaded Israel and destroyed the temple, pulling down the temple walls, fulfilling Jesus' prophecy. After the Jewish temple was destroyed, this was the second temple Christianity spread in Israel. The Jews, some of them, were converted to Christianity. Roman occupation continued and was difficult for both Jews and Christians in Israel. Moving on a little bit, and notice still no reference to Palestine, but there was a Jewish revolt that happened in 115 AD. The Roman Emperor Trajan appointed the first consular legate of Judea. His name was Lucius Quietus. He was the man Trajan sent to suppress the Jewish revolt. And he did. In 132, the next emperor, Hadrian, decided to build a Roman colony on the site of Jerusalem. This did not make the Jews in Jerusalem and in Israel happy, and it provoked another much more serious uprising. This uprising is the famous Jewish revolt led by Bar Kokhba, the Bar Kokhba Rebellion. And this was ruthlessly repressed by Roman general Julius Severus. About 1,000 Jewish villages were destroyed, and more than 500,000 Jews were killed. After the rebellion was put down, as an insult, the emperor renamed Israel Philistinia after the Philistines. Remember that guy Goliath? When we come back, more about how all this ties together. Palestine, Israel, and the Philistines. Stay tuned. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
Religion Today with host Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. All right, this is the second part of our show about Palestine and Israel and how those names are connected and what would it be to free Palestine. We're about to connect all the dots here. After the Bar Kokhba rebellion was put down and 500,000 Jews were killed, as an insult, the emperor renamed Israel Philistinia after the Philistines, who had been obliterated. He thought it was ironic and kind of a joke that he was renaming Israel after a group of people that were gone. So he was obliterating Israel by using the name of an obliterated people, the Philistines. And it was that name, Philistinia, that has now morphed into the name Palestine. Philistine, Palestine. Philistinia, Palestines. That's where the name Palestine comes from. The name was an ironic joke or ironic renaming of Israel done by a Roman emperor. Palestine is not a Muslim name. It's not a Jewish name. It's not an Arab name. It's a name imposed by the Romans. Let's take a look at what happened after this renaming in the 2nd century AD. Christianity spread, even under the oppression of the Roman Empire, until finally Constantine, the emperor of Rome in the 4th century, converted to Christianity. There was a new wave of prosperity under Constantine in what was Israel renamed Palestine. The emperor himself built a magnificent church on the site of the Holy Sepulchre. He built all kinds of massive, wonderful Christian sites to be visited. His mother-in-law built a church at Mamre, where Abraham had lived. Jews and Christians lived in Israel, renamed Palestine, side by side. This is all way before Muhammad and Islam even happened. Remember, Muhammad was born in 570 AD. So you have, by the time Muhammad is born in 570 AD, and before Islam was ever established, which happened in about 611 to 630 AD, no matter who you talk to, Israel renamed to Palestine. Palestine occupied mostly by Jews and Christians, but also because so much had been done to make it an interesting place to visit and to live that all kinds of pilgrims came to see things, and many stayed, people from all quarters of the world. It was a fascinating place. And so there were different provinces, and under Constantine and towards the end of his governing, this Palestine was divided into three provinces. One was Prima, another one was Secunda, and the third one was Salutarius. This will come up in a minute. So it's interesting that this governor of the province of Prima, one of these three sections of Israel renamed Palestine, came to be known as the leader of the Byzantine Empire, and also became someone who was the leader of a place where eventually there would be some Muslims who would come. Now, for quite a while after that, there was a large section of the Middle East that was taken over and conquered by what's called the Ottoman Empire or the Turkish Empire. And that happened from about 1517 to 1917. So the Ottoman Empire, Turkish Empire, took over Israel, renamed to Palestine, about 500 years ago, after Columbus discovered America. So this is fairly recent history. Now you get to World War I. World War I dramatically altered the geopolitical landscape in the Middle East. In 1917, at the height of World War I, there was a guy, a British foreign secretary named Arthur James Balfour, and he submitted a letter of intent supporting the establishment of a Jewish homeland in what was Israel, renamed Palestine. And the British government hoped that this formal declaration, known as the Balfour Declaration, would encourage support for this idea from all the Allies. Now, why did he do this? Why would he ask for a declaration that Israel, renamed Palestine, would be renamed back to Israel, in essence? Well, here's the reason why. There are 14 Muslim countries in the Middle East by then. You've got what are today Turkey, Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, where Islam began. Didn't begin in Israel or Palestine. Islam began in Saudi Arabia. Islam did not begin in Palestine. It did not begin in Israel. The United Arab Emirates is another one, Kuwait, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Oman, Yemen, Egypt. Interestingly enough, the people who did not have a homeland, really, at least in name, were the Jews. And so the idea was they should have a homeland. Several possibilities were discussed, but it was decided that their original homeland, the place where they had always been living, the place that they had been living in since 120,000 years ago, at least, if you look at science and paleontology, or if you look at the Bible, since at least several thousand years BC, and if you look at Egyptian and Assyrian history, at least since 1000 BC, way before there was a Roman joke to rename Israel after the Philistines. And so what happened was the modern day area that we now have as Israel was renamed Israel from the prior name Palestine. And that was officially done in 1947. And that was done to sort of right the wrong of the name change that was done by the Roman Empire. Of course, there were some that objected. There were many Muslims by this time who wanted Israel obliterated and all the Jews wiped from the face of the earth. But the rest of the world, the civilized part of the world, decided that it would be appropriate that the Jews should have their traditional homeland that dated back to at least 2000 BC, and that 14 Muslim countries were enough for the Muslims. They didn't need another one to add to the list. And hence, as a result of that, ever since the United Nations approval of the plan to have a Jewish state, there have been wars that were started by several of the different Muslim countries to take over and obliterate Israel. There have been a number of efforts by those who follow Islam to destroy Israel, and those continue today. On modern college campuses, you have brains full of mush, meaning the students who don't know any of this history, who somehow think that Israel and the Jews are horrible and oppress the Palestinians, even though about 20% of Israeli citizens, are actually Palestinian, meaning non-Jews. And they live side by side, and they occupy great positions of government, positions on the Supreme Court, positions in the government of Israel, and that hopefully can proceed onward if the world will move in the right direction. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.